From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, for years, the NFL has avoided bringing politics onto the field. But in stadiums across the country on Sunday, as the national anthem was sung, players locked arms in protest. How, in trying to keep politics out of football, the president forced the league to become more political than ever before. It's Monday, September 25th.
Your opinion about the current administration and about the projected trip to the White House has been very clear. You've said you do not intend to go.
So it's Friday, media day, for the Golden State Warriors in Oakland, California. Michael, give us the scene there.
The Warriors are the NBA champions and really kind of an iconic team in the NBA right now.
Michael Powell is a sports columnist at the Times.
And their star of stars is this small, by NBA standards, guard Steph Curry.
Yeah, my views haven't changed at all. I don't know if they can be changed, but that's kind of where I stand right now.
And he's a sort of a maestro with the basketball. He's also not sure at all that he wants to make what is the traditional trip that the NBA champion and the Warriors or the NBA champions make to the White House.
Mm-hmm. We want to respect the opportunity that we have to represent not only ourselves, our own beliefs, but our organization, because we're obviously in this position because we won a championship and we did something special together.
Now, it's important to understand there's going to be a vote. The team is going to take a vote probably this weekend. That was their plan. And he basically said,
I don't want to go. That's really it. I mean, that's kind of that's the nucleus of my belief. And
I think because I see the president as stirring up a lot of forces.
Our president has the things that he said and the things that that he hasn't said in the right times that we won't stand for. And by acting and not going, hopefully that will inspire some change when it comes to what we tolerate in this country and what is accepted and what we turn a blind eye to.
Basically, he's talking about race.
But yeah, I don't think us not going to the White House is going to miraculously make everything better. But there are things that this is my opportunity to voice that.
So that's the NBA. And then what happens on Friday night in Alabama?
Thank you, everybody. I love this place. You know, we set every record in Alabama. I love Alabama. It's special. Thank you very much.
President Trump goes to Huntsville, Alabama to endorse a Republican, Luther Strange, who's running in a Republican primary there for the United States Senate. And the president goes off on a stream of consciousness tangent, and he kind of bounces around and he starts in on the National Football League.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
I mean, he kind of squints his eyes and kind of juts his chin out and says,
because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for. And I know we have freedoms and we have freedom of choice and many, many different freedoms. But you know what? It's still totally disrespectful.
He also, by the way, says that the NFL has become insufficiently violent, that they are now too concerned with concussions and this sort of thing.
Because, you know, today, if you hit too hard, right, they hit too hard, 15 yards, throw him out of the game. They had that last week. I watched for a couple of minutes, and two guys just really beautiful tackle. Boom, 15 yards. The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game. Right? They're ruining the game.
And that just goes, you know, that shot of electricity goes across the United States.
Just pick up and leave. Pick up and leave. Not the same game anymore, anyway.
one of the things we've done.
Michael, you're alluding to a really messy history in this sports league that the president is wading into. Can you take us through the last year or so of that and where this is all coming from?
Sure. It started about a year ago when a quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, who is a black quarterback, became politicized.
Now, this is a statement from Kaepernick, and it's a quote. "I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder."
He made the decision that he was, in an attempt to draw the nation's attention to this, going to take a knee during the playing of the national anthem. And he did this all last year, all last season. He took a knee, didn't say anything. I mean, it was quite respectful, but I mean, the symbolism was quite startling.
"By now, many of us are aware of Kaepernick's decision to sit during the national anthem in protest of racial injustice in our country. But despite what his objectors are saying, he said all along that it was never his intention to disrespect the military. Tonight, if Kaepernick
the NFL,
sits,
for a variety of sort of cultural reasons, has always tended to be the most conservative of the American pro leagues. You know, its identification with the military is very powerful. They do a lot of events with the military. And for a athlete, any athlete, but in particular a black athlete, to take a knee was seen by some fans, by some owners, some in the media, as an insult, just an absolutely incalculable insult to the military. I mean, you hear that kind of over and over again.
Supermodel Kate Upton tweeted, "Sitting or kneeling down during the national anthem is a disgrace to those people who have served and currently serve our country." Rob Lowe also took to Twitter.
This was serious business. And that, of course, makes this $10 billion business of the NFL very nervous, because, you know, all they want is the fans, you know, just come in, you know, sit there, buy your beers, buy your food, and, you know, root for the team, and may we all, you know, live and prosper.
I wonder, Michael, though, why now? To me, it felt like the Kaepernick drama had more or less settled down and was no longer a great focus of anyone's.
Well, that's actually a great point. And that's another part of this saga, is that Kaepernick came to the end of last year as a quarterback with the 49ers. His contract was up. He was a free agent. No one has signed him. Not a single team has signed him, even though he is seen commonly as having, at the very least, the talent to make a very good backup quarterback. And yet no team will sign him. And there's a sense, in other words, that he's been blackballed. So I think that Trump saw that he was playing from a hand of strength. You know, this guy is kind of out of the league. This is kind of dying down. And so let me talk tough.
President Trump rescinded an invitation extended to the Golden State Warriors to visit the White House, attacking the team's star player in the process. Here's the tweet. "Going to the White House is considered a great honor for a championship team. Steph Curry is hesitating. Therefore, invitation is withdrawn."
The next morning, of course, Trump woke up and tweeted that Steph Curry could forget about it because neither he nor the Warriors were any longer going to be invited to the White House. So it does have kind of the look of a twofer, that he was going to take on one black protester the night before, and he was going to take on a black star the next day. You know, I think it's also fair to say that that's certainly how it's played both across the nation and certainly within the athletic community, both NFL and NBA.
Right. I mean, if we think about what Colin Kaepernick and Steph Curry have in common, there's not all that much.
They're black.
And
they've kind of spoken out.
So this is such a saga at this point. And so now we're at Saturday morning. The president goes after Curry, as you said. And here now, another giant of the NBA gets involved, right?
Yes. I mean, LeBron James goes after him, calls him a bum.
The president.
You know, when I wake up, I see that, you know, a colleague of mine has been uninvited of something that he said he didn't even want to go to in the first place, you know, to the White House. You know, that's just something I can't stand for, man. And we got...
So you know, here, and I have to confess, I did a little bit of sports reading this weekend that I might not normally. You have LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who lost to the Golden State Warriors in the championship, standing up for Steph Curry, the star of the rival team. So that would seem to speak to what an unusual situation we find ourselves in.
It does. Though, having said that, there's a quick distinction to make in basketball and the National Basketball Association. Athletes have been politicized and speaking out politically now for, oh, I don't know, at least half a decade. Mm. And some of their biggest stars, whether it's Steph Curry, LeBron James, Chris Paul, I mean, these are big names, and they've endorsed, in the case of LeBron James, he endorsed Hillary Clinton for president.
So as much as you guys would love to hear from me, I would much rather love to hear from our next president, Ms. Hillary Clinton.
They've gotten involved in voter registration efforts and tried to encourage voters to come out to the polls. You've seen them go to rallies against police brutality.
But it was a silent shout from Chicago Bulls player Derrick Rose, wearing the words, "I can't breathe," on this shirt over his jersey in pregame warmups. A potent message from the NBA's 2011 MVP.
So that's a quite a bit more politicized league, and they've by and large been supported even from the top of that league. But in the NFL, that's very much terra incognita. They don't do that. And so it's kind of into that very changing world that the president has come saying what he's saying.
So, Michael, by Saturday afternoon, the president, by coincidence or not at all by coincidence, is now engaged in a public feud with some of the biggest names and two of the biggest sports leagues in the United States, the NBA and the NFL, right? Just trying to keep count.
Yes, absolutely. And you're starting to see even NFL owners, and in some cases, NFL owners who are friends and supporters of the president, coming out and saying that the president overstepped and was divisive.
Just moments ago, minutes ago, the Pats CEO, Robert Kraft, released this statement this morning, saying in part, "There is no greater unifier in this country than sports, and unfortunately, nothing more divisive than politics. I think our political leaders could learn a lot from the lessons of teamwork and the importance of working together toward a common goal."
The owners realize that increasingly, particularly the stars that work for them, are powerful, wealthy, in some cases, you know, men in their own right. That I'm talking about the athletes. And they saw what happened in the NBA a few years ago when an owner, a white owner, made some racially explosive comments. And the team, that owner's team, literally said, "If you, the league, don't do something, we will not take the floor." And, you know, these owners are aware, in other words, that the days when they could kind of rule as czars over their teams is gone. So it's a very complicated world. And the owners, I mean, my sense is that particularly the NFL owners, are coming to kind of intuit that, right? That Trump may be our friend and somebody that we supported politically, but this now puts me, I'm saying if you're an owner, in a very dicey situation.
So all of this is building to this incredible built-in drama with the fact that Sunday is NFL game day with 14 games scheduled across the country. So with Trump's comments on everyone's mind, what happens Sunday?
Game day dawns in London, oddly enough. Once a year, the NFL plays a game in London. So this means, because of the time difference, that this is the first game to be played on Sunday. And
can you see by the dawn's early light?
A large number of players on both teams take a knee. And even those who don't take a knee put their hand on the shoulder of teammates who did take a knee. A little bit later, at 1 o'clock in Chicago, the Chicago Bears are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers don't even take the field. They stay in their locker room for the playing in the national anthem. That is actually a violation of league policy, though I suspect the league is going to tiptoe on that one. And it's a quite remarkable moment. The team finally takes the field. They get booed by some of the fans because they weren't there for the national anthem. And that kind of sets off, you know, a long day for the NFL, because you have the Seattle Seahawks do the same thing. They also do not take the field for the playing of the national anthem. And in virtually every game played.
On this football Sunday, NFL players across the league took a knee and linked arms, united in defiance against President Trump.
So it's quite a moment, sort of moving almost like an electrical current from city to city as the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock games come on.
It was clear that players, coaches, and executives are locked in solidarity over the right to peacefully protest racial injustice.
So has Trump, in taking this on, ironically seemed to have emboldened professional athletes and fueled this protest movement?
Yeah, I mean, on the protest movement itself, I mean, he really, we think of it a campfire, I mean, there were at best a few embers left, and he just came and threw a bunch of wood on it and a couple of matches, because it's now aflame again. But he's also, I think, what this does is it points to this cultural moment in American society in which athletes are, if you will, no longer staying in their lane, no longer saying, you know, that we are only going to worry about whether I know the right route to run if I'm a wide receiver, but I'm also going to speak up if I think that a president is playing with racial fire. And there's a sense that the players have anyway, that he is kind of putting his hand in the dark corners of the American psyche. And they're speaking up. And it's very interesting. I mean, it's not as if this is necessarily a bad move for the president with his base, but it certainly led to a very interesting moment in American culture.
So to that point, it feels like this leaves the fans, that it remains to be seen how they're going to react to all of this, these loyal, some of them rabid fans of these teams. The president basically encouraged them to boycott games. And it feels complicated to pit fans against players. So do we have a sense of how this is going to play out in the world of sports lovers?
I think it's fair to say that fans are very split. There's certainly a lot of fans who take, you know, the traditional view that athletes, you know, I come to sports. I don't want to hear talk of politics. Right. I don't want to hear talk of culture. I just want to watch my game. And the underlying irony is that this league had, by all appearances, done, you know, a job of blackballing Kaepernick. So, I mean, Kaepernick really, you know, it kind of moved into the shadows of NFL history until the president, in this kind of stream of consciousness moment of his in Huntsville, Alabama, you know, opened a door to a lot of kind of ugly stuff.
Michael, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Michael.
On Sunday afternoon, as players protested at games across the country, the president addressed the controversy again this time from an airport tarmac in New Jersey. "This has nothing to do with race," he told reporters. "I never said anything about race. This had to do with respect for our country and respect for our flag." We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. It's Kyra Blackwell from Wirecutter, the product recommendation service from the New York Times, and I test mattresses. Today, I am testing 7 mattresses, all brand concealed. It just feels like such a daunting endeavor to pick the right mattress. This mattress is very supportive. It's just like very easy to shift positions. We've considered nearly 4 dozen foam, inner spring, and hybrid mattresses. We're looking out for edge support, motion isolation, and firmness levels. We are cross-referencing our data between testers, which includes people of all different shapes, sizes, and sleep preferences. When it came right out the box, it smelled like lavender. I'm not sure how long it'll last. I finished compiling all of my tester surveys. One tester noted the mattress had some give and underlying firmness and support. At Wirecutter, we do the work so you don't have to. For independent product reviews and recommendations for the real world, come visit us at nytimes.com/wirecutter. It feels very squishy, but in a good way.
Here's what else you need to know today. The Trump administration is expanding its ban on travel from 6 Muslim-majority countries, which was struck down by federal judges and appeared to be headed for the Supreme Court. The latest order continues limitations on citizens of Iran, Somalia, Libya, Yemen, and Syria, and extends them to 3 new countries, Chad, North Korea, and Venezuela. The Times reports that by broadening the new order to non-Muslim majority countries, the White House could avoid legal claims of religious discrimination. And
your vote is pivotal on the Graham-Cassidy healthcare bill. Where are you? Yes or no?
Over the weekend, 2 more Republican senators, Susan Collins of Maine and Ted Cruz of Texas, expressed their reluctance to support their party's latest healthcare plan, leaving the bill teetering on the edge of collapse.
Jake, it's very difficult for me to envision a scenario where I would end up voting for this bill. I have a number of serious reservations about it.
Senators Rand Paul of Kentucky and John McCain of Arizona had already said they would not support the plan, with time running out ahead of a September 30th deadline. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.